Welcome, everyone, to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. Appreciate you listening in for today's mailbag show. Hopefully, you already checked out my updated Week 8 rankings that went up this afternoon. I will update those again before the Thursday night game kicks off between my Bills and the Buccaneers. Still lots of injuries that I'm keeping an eye on for this week. It was good to see at least Tyreek Hill back out there at practice today, so fingers crossed that we're going to have a quick and easy injury episode on Friday. I hate when those run too long because that means it's going to be a very difficult week fantasy-wise, but I'm hoping this one shouldn't be too bad. Long way to go before we get to Sunday, though, so let's take it step by step here. And that means answering your questions first. So let's get to it. And we will start off with, I got a bunch of questions about Brandon Ayuk this week. So I'll try to tackle them all together. I was kind of surprised that I got all these questions about Brandon Ayuk, but I'll explain why in a second. At Nickel City FF, can we expect anything more from Brandon Ayuk this season, or has he reached his fantasy ceiling? At L Jackson MVP, why do you consistently have Brandon Ayuk ranked as a top 10 wide receiver when he's produced only two games? And at Fantasy Burner 46, wondering your thought process on why Brandon Ayuk remains so high on the trade value chart despite low production compared to expectation, is in brackets there. And Deebo Samuel returning soon enough. I think I can buy low and want to pull the trigger, especially seeing your confidence in him. So three questions there. We'll try and go through all of them. I have been on the Brandon Ayuk train for years now. Everyone who's listened to me knows that. It's not out of the ordinary that I have to be on the show defending him, so that is a very comfortable spot for me to be in. But this year, I thought that we might be past that because he has looked so, so good this season. And to me, it's been clear that he's taken his game to another level. I feel like I've seen other analysts saying that as well. So I thought we were kind of all in agreement on that one. But I get that he's not putting up like 100 yards every single week. But yardage-wise, he's top 12 among receivers right now. And that includes the fact that he missed week three due to injury. And yes, he's got the two big games. He had 129 yards in the opener. He had 148 yards in week four. But his other totals, they aren't that bad. 76 yards, 58 yards, 57 yards. His worst game came in week two. He had just 43 yards, but he only played like 50% of the snaps in that game because that was the one where he left early with the injury. So those aren't bad numbers. And like I said, he's top 12 in receiving yards among wideouts. He's also top 12 in receiving first downs and in catches over 20 yards. The bigger problem, especially for fantasy, is probably that he hasn't found the end zone since week one. And touchdowns, they can be fluky. We know that. He's also gone up against the Cowboys and the Browns defenses in two of his last three games. Those are really tough matchups. And given all that, he's still the wide receiver 17 in fantasy points per game this year. He's averaging 13 points per contest in half PPR leagues. And if we only count the five games where he played the full complement of snaps, so we take out that one game where he got hurt, he'd be the wide receiver 14 and he'd be averaging 14.5 fantasy points per game. And I'm not somebody who falls back on the old, like, have you watched the games argument? I'm not that guy. But that might actually apply here. If you tune in for the 49ers games, Ayuk looks like a star receiver, and he is producing like one. He just got banged up in week two, and he missed week three. He also had a couple tough matchups in week five and week six. Brock Purdy got concussed in week seven. So to me, Ayuk has looked apart. His numbers, I don't think, are as bad as these questions make it seem, even though I get that people might expect more from him. The potential is there for more, too, if he just finds the end zone a couple of times. And with the opportunity he's getting, touchdowns are going to come. So I'm not worried at all. And I was really, really shocked when I saw that there were three questions about Brandon Ayuk this week, and they were all sort of suggesting that he is underperforming right now. He's going to be fine. I would confidently put him in your lineup this week, even with Sam Darnold under center. I think Darnold could run that Kyle Shanahan offense. So to me, Ayuk is a quality start this week and somebody that I would be buying low on if you can get him. At JassBond007, where does Sam Darnold rank this week? And at Monsieur_Moo, where are you ranking Darnold this week? So I had to put both those questions together here because they're almost identical and I wanted to answer both of them. I didn't want to leave somebody out. Normally, I know everyone will just say, go check the rankings on questions like this, but when I asked for the questions initially this week, it was on Wednesday. And at that point, I hadn't updated the rankings to reflect that Darnold could start this week. So he got added in the Thursday update. He's QB 13 right now. That might be a little bit high, but he's going to be a mid to high end QB 2. Even in any updates that I'm going to do between now and Sunday, he's still going to be in that range. And that's because he's had a lot of time here to learn the Shanahan system. And I think this scheme often makes quarterbacks look good and helps them produce for fantasy. Plus, look at the quarterbacks around him in the rankings. You tell me who you would confidently play over him. We'll go through them here. Jordan Love versus Minnesota in what's expected to be a cold game. And Love has certainly had his ups and downs this year. You have Sam Howell, who I like and who has been good for fantasy most weeks, but he loves taking sacks. And now he's going against the Eagles front. That is not a recipe for success. You have Matthew Stafford facing the Cowboys defense. He's on the road. That's a tough matchup. Russell Wilson against that Chiefs underrated defense. Jimmy Garoppolo returning from a back injury. He's facing the Lions. Gardner Minshew versus the Saints. I hope you get my point here, right? It's not a great week for QB2s or for streamers. And I said that on Monday's show when we went over all the waiver wire pickups for this week. I told you that there really wasn't great options. And thankfully, there's no buys this week and the injuries are kind of limited. So you should be okay at your quarterback situation. And that's why the quarterback that I highlighted in the waiver wire column was Kyler Murray, somebody that I said was just a stash because I don't think he's going to play this week, but he is off the injury report. So there's a chance that he could be out there. Could be starting, but probably going to be at least one more week before we see Kyler. Regardless, Darnold might move down a spot or two when I'm doing my updates over the next few days, but I'm putting my faith in that Shanahan system. I'm putting my faith in the weapons that are in that 49ers offense. Even with Deebo Samuel out, they still have so many elite, talented players in that offense. And I think that Darnold could have a good fantasy day, not a week winner, but a solid streamer in a week where the QB2s, they all have risk about them, so I am willing to play Darnold this week, depending on your options. At SmithMaster22, what would you do if you had both Roschon Johnson and Deonta Foreman? I have Daryl Henderson and Aaron Jones as well, and it just sort of seems like a massive mess of a decision. Yeah, it's definitely a tough one. I would make sure that you check out my final rankings update on Sunday, because questions like this, when guys are close in the rankings, things can move around quite a bit each time that I'm tinkering with them. So you want to make sure you check those out on Sunday morning to see where I land with all of it, because that's when we're going to have all the injury information and we'll know what's going on with Aaron Jones and with Roschon Johnson. Right now, it seems like they're both going to be active, though, and we talked about the Bears backfield on yesterday's show, but with how well Foreman produced in Week 7, and with the fact that he's kind of done this every single time that he's gotten starter snaps the last few years, I think the Bears are going to continue to ride Foreman as the lead back, and they're going to work Roschon in as more of that pass down guy, which unfortunately lowers the fantasy ceilings for both guys. And it's also unfortunate for Roschon because the concussion that caused him to really miss his opportunity to steal the starting gig. And he'll probably get more down the road here. He'll get other chances to take on more work, but now he's back in a committee with a veteran, which is where he was before this injury, which is where he was when Khalil Herbert was still playing. So maybe Roschon can outperform Foreman this week. Maybe he can earn more touches over the next couple games, but I would play Foreman as the guy if I had to choose in this backfield for Week 8, and then we'll reassess after that. And I'd be holding both guys. If you're talking about what to do rest of the season, I would want to hang on to both these guys, because at worst, you're guaranteeing yourself the Bears starting running back for at least the next stretch here, right? Herbert's not going to be back for a little while. At Dominic Valdez 5, I know you always ask your guests this, but who are some people that you think are being overlooked for Week 8? So yeah, this is always the final question on the Wednesday preview show. I used to chime in on those episodes with my players too, but I felt like at times, because it's the end of the episode, it felt a little clunky when I also threw my guys in there too. So I want the guests to have the spotlight. I kind of just clear the lane for them now, but I'll give you mine for Week 8 today. Gus Edwards and Justice Hill and the Ravens. The Cardinals are giving up the 4th most fantasy points to running backs. They've given up at least 90 yards from scrimmage to a single back in 6 straight games. The Ravens are big favorites. Should be plenty of opportunity for Edwards and Hill in that one. They probably actually need to move up my rankings now that I'm thinking about it. I probably have to move them up a spot or two. Devin Singletary, even if he doesn't take the lead back job from Damian Pierce, and we talked about that too on yesterday's show, but I don't think that he is going to emerge as the starting back in that offense unless Pierce just completely falls on his face. But this is a great matchup going against that Panthers defense. Carolina's allowing the second most fantasy points to running backs this year. So Singletary could be a flex even if Pierce is out there leading the way for Houston. And then their teammate, Tank Dell, he's a really strong play too. He's coming back from the bye. He's also coming back from missing a game due to injury before that. You have Robert Woods, who looks like he's going to be out for week 8. And Dell has had quite a bit of success already this year. He's positioned to be a wide receiver 3 with quite a bit of upside in week 8. So I like him a lot. There's lots, though. I mean, we could go over a bunch of these guys. Brandon Cooks on the Cowboys, he's in a bit of a revenge game against one of his old clubs, the Rams. I think that game has sneaky shootout potential, too. Rashid Shaheed on the Saints, he should be able to make at least one splash play against that Colts defense. So really, plenty of overlooked guys that I think deserve more love this week. Those are a few of mine. We're not going to spend the whole show on it, but those are a few that should tide you over. At JazzFan420, any QBs you like as trade targets rest of season? Thanks for sharing your great insights. Well, you are welcome for that. I talked about Dak Prescott as a buy low on yesterday's show, and I still stand by that one, of course. I'm not going to go over it all again, but you could go back. You could listen to that segment. It was at the start of Wednesday's episode. I would also be willing to make a move for Brock Purdy, and the concussion might make him even more of a buy low this week because he's back at practice already. I don't think he's going to play in this game. Basically, everyone this year that's ended up in the concussion protocol has missed the game that week, so I don't think that they're going to allow Purdy to play this time around, but Kyle Shanahan said there's a chance that he could still be active in the game. Really, to me, though, that just adds to the buy low factor because if he misses this game, the 49ers are actually on bye next week. So his manager isn't going to have him for a couple weeks here. And if you go back and you look, Purdy was the QB8 in fantasy points per game through the first 5 weeks. Then he had the tough matchup with the Browns defense. And then this past week, his numbers were good until he suffered that concussion. And they didn't realize it, I guess. He kept going after it happened. And the numbers, they just took a nosedive after the play where people are identifying that that's where he got the concussion. So he'll probably sit out this game, like I said, and then he'll have the bye to get healthy. And when he comes back after the bye, maybe they'll have Deebo Samuel at that point. Regardless, the 49ers have one of the easiest fantasy quarterback schedules out there the rest of the way. So Purdy and Dak, I think those are two buy lows at quarterback. And guys that really aren't getting like a ton of hype right now, I think you could get them on the cheap at the moment. At @vay_fb, at what point in the season do you start rostering handcuffs for your own running backs and look at rostering an extra defense with favorable playoff schedules? Do you wait until buys are over? So I don't tend to roster what you're calling handcuff running backs until the second half of the season. You know, when the waiver wire starts to thin out a bit, that's when I start to grab those guys and throw them on my bench. And we're almost at that point, but right now I think there's still quite a few upside stashes that I would rather have. And what I'm trying to do there is I'm trying to gain an extra starter in my lineup if things fall my way with that player, instead of just hedging, which is what, when you're talking about handcuffs, you're just hedging and you're grabbing a backup to your current starter. And if your starter gets hurt, yes, it mitigates the downside, but it's going to be a worse starter in your lineup at that point. So I would rather try to aim for upside. I would rather try to find another guy that if the starter on his team goes down, now I have two running backs or whatever position it might be in my lineup. So that's how I like to play it at this time of year. There's no real set like week where I would normally make that change. It just kind of got to feel it out as we go. And I think we're probably still a couple more weeks away from that. As far as the second defense goes, I'm not doing that until a week or two before the fantasy playoffs begin. I think it's just a waste of a bench spot if you have a second defense right now. So you can try to get the jump on people if you do 2 weeks before the playoffs, let's say, but I wouldn't go any earlier than that. I think there's always defense options that you can fall back on. And I think sometimes we're not as good about projecting defenses, and I would say kickers too, but about projecting some of these team defenses as we think we are. There's lots of shockers that happen at those two positions. And last one here, at @FFB_Victoria, which is our friend Victoria Geary of Football Guy. She's actually scheduled to come on the show in a couple weeks here. I think sometime in November, actually. But regardless, she wants to know, when deciding on weekly starts, especially with wide receivers who are close slash fairly similar, how can we dig deeper than playing whoever has the best matchup? Any specific stats you look to, such as cornerback passer rating allowed, etc.? So this is a tough one because for me, when I'm going deeper, it's for the rankings and for the projections. And like everything, I mean, there isn't really one clear-cut stat that's going to give you the right answer. It's just about factoring in as much information as I can and then trying to build from there. And yes, I do take into account cornerback passer rating allowed. That's one. I really dig into the premium stats at Pro Football Focus. They have the coverage grades over there. The snaps by position is important. So you're trying to get an idea of which wide receiver corner matchups you're going to see most often in the game. And that's where it gets tricky, because you rarely have situations now where you get that shadow coverage on a guy all game. So the receiver is going to have opportunities against other corners. And that's why this stuff, it's all valuable, but it doesn't give you the final answer every time. And it's not like, I assume, what baseball is like, where the pitcher and the batter, they're going head to head and you can draw that clear line between, you know, that day and their previous matchups. Here, there's just so much to consider on a football field. I look at ADOT, like, where's the receiver getting the majority of his targets, and how does that relate to the quality of the offensive line or to the defensive line that they're facing? Is the quarterback going to have enough time to comfortably work in the pocket during that contest? And if the receiver that you want to play, if he gets most of his targets downfield, he could be more impacted if there's injuries on the offensive line, let's say. And we're always looking at injuries across the defense, especially in the secondary. You know, is that ball hawking safety not playing in this game? Is that going to give the receivers more room to work with? But I'm going to stop there, because I think that's where we start to get into the weeds with how much I'm taking into consideration when I'm talking about my rankings and projections. And that's not even mentioning the weather factors or the point totals or all the other things that are contributing to players' outlooks. But I know that Victoria is going to dig deep into that stuff. What I think is more valuable for everybody listening is trying to get it back to basics a little bit here, because not everybody has access to PFF premium stats or to these other great pay sites, you know, with these awesome stat packages like, you know, Fantasy Points, for example. They have a really good one that they released this year, and not everybody even has the time to invest into digging into these specific cornerback matchups. So if you're struggling between two wideouts or even more than two wideouts and you're trying to figure out who to play, I think the simplest thing to do is look at where a defense ranks in terms of fantasy points allowed to receivers. Then go look at their box scores from their recent games. See which kind of receivers have had success or have struggled against them. And is it always the slot receiver that's having big games? Is it always the number one receiver that's getting it done against them? And then compare that to the receivers that you're considering and see if the guys who have excelled against them are the same kind of receiver prototype that you're thinking about playing, right? Like, I think that's the simplest way, and I think that's the least time-consuming way to try to make those decisions. But maybe Victoria and I could talk about that more in depth when she's on the show in November. Regardless, that is all for today's show. I got to get out of here. Remember, the Thursday rankings, that update's live. I will update those again tonight once we have an actives, and we'll have a little bit more information from today's practices. And then I'll have Start, Sit, Stash, Quit up on Friday. I will have the Friday injury updates episode going tomorrow. But until then, big thanks again for all the questions today. Big thanks to everybody for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me.